and you're listening to 91.7 WHUS. I am Fran Storch, and here we are at Radio Naturopath. We are hoping to have a guest today, but if that doesn't happen, we've certainly got lots of other stuff to talk about. If you'd like to participate in the conversation here at WHUS with me, the Radio Naturopath, you can call 860-486-9487. I am here with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Good morning, Dr. Fran.
Yeah. So please ask me any questions about anything you would like to discuss. And while we're waiting for our possible guest to arrive or call, we'll talk about some other stuff.
Right.
So and I'll just give an introduction. So this Saturday will be the 1 year anniversary of the inauguration of the president, the current president, number 45, and on the next day, which was the 21st last year, there was a grand march on Washington and all over the country. There was a women's march. And so our plan was to have a guest here today who was going to talk about what's been going on in terms of the women's march. And so so we'd like to, you know, so we wanted to promote that and talk about that. Because last year, after the women's march, we had a guest who talked about what was going on in different organizing in the different kinds of organization that was going on around the Women's March. And so we're hoping that she arrives, and if she does not, we will talk about other things. So great. In the meantime, last week I started with talking about the different things that happen in terms of weight loss. And you know, weight loss is something we talk about a lot on Radio Naturopath. Not so much because it's my favorite topic, but because it's a lot of people's favorite topics, and it's something that people think about during the new year. So it's something that I like to discuss. It is definitely something that that people are very interested in, and so there's a lot of stuff that goes on around it. And so people think about, this is something people think about because, you know, during, at the end of the year, so, you know, starting in about October, it starts to get cold, and the days start getting shorter, and people start getting hungrier, and people start reducing their activity. And so, and it sort of happens in a kind of, insidious way. And then people get into the holiday season and they're not really thinking about it. And before you know it, 5 to 10 pounds later. Although there are studies that show when you talk about the average of what people gain in the winter season, they usually gain maybe 1 or 2 pounds. But the issue is they don't lose it over the course of the year. So 10 years later, you're 10 pounds heavier. And that's an average. So some people don't gain weight and some people gain a lot more weight. So so it's an issue this time of year. So what usually happens is people get past the holidays, you know, go through the holiday season. The holiday season is long. It starts with Thanksgiving. It starts with a lot of parties and a lot of gatherings and a lot of being indoors and a lot of rich foods and hors d'oeuvres and excessive eating and also drinking alcohol. And it starts, you know, like I said, late October, and it goes through Thanksgiving. And once it's Thanksgiving, one of the things we find, what do you find in the gyms during the month of December, Ron?
The resolutionists have arrived.
In December?
In December?
Yeah. What happens in December?
Oh, well, in December, it's different. Yeah. Yeah.
So what happens in December?
Everybody goes off and parties and holidays and does all that, and then they start feeling guilty and terrible, and then they,
come back. How full are your spin classes in December?
Not so good.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's you see sort of a downturn in...
Well, there's a variety of reasons for that. And, you know, one being obviously that, you know, no one's really thinking about it that time of year. But that's really the major reason because, you know, they've got a lot on their minds. They've got holiday parties. They've got family gatherings. And they just get out of their routine. So the people that normally come get out of their routine. And the people that don't normally come, well, we're not going to see them until January.
At least, if we see them at all.
If we see them at all, right.
Right, yeah.
If they have that idea that that's what they're going to do, right.
Right. So what amazes me is when you as soon as New Year starts, I'm trying to remember if it starts the day after Christmas. It's definitely going on the day after New Year's. Bam, there's ads on TV, on the radio, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all social media, and you know, on the on your web, on your search engines for all kinds of weight loss programs and all kinds of exercise programs, and all of the gyms start advertising as well. So that's really interesting, and that starts right away. And I was just really, it made me really want to talk about it because obviously it's on people's minds because that's why the advertisers are jumping in and starting it. And so people are really, really thinking about it. And so it's something people are excited about. And there's so many things that they put out there. So what I wanted to speak to was the different things that are available and the different ways that you can respond to that. Now, I'm not a great example because I'm somebody who pretty much stick to my guns. One thing that I do in the month of December, when I'm into late November into December, is I relax a little bit as to what I'm going to do for exercise. But I continue my exercise. I might go to parties, but I do try to keep my intake down. And if I gain a little bit, I do gain a little bit of weight in the winter just because my activity level just isn't nearly what it is in the summer. It's certainly different because, a lot of it is happening indoors. And yet I try to still continue to do something. And then there are a lot of you who find it difficult to even know where to begin. So what I've determined is that there are a few different kinds of people when it comes to an eating style and an exercise style. So first of all, let's take up the eating style. So one thing, if people decide that they do want to lose weight, is they're interested in having that happen, but they don't want to put a lot of effort into it. So they come to me or they try a program where they can maybe take some shakes or pills, and they hope that the shakes or pills are going to help them to lose weight. So unfortunately, there's nothing magic about if you wanting to lose weight and you wanting to lower your cholesterol and you wanting to get your blood sugar numbers down, there's really nothing magic about it. There's no even if you have to take pharmaceutical drugs to bring your blood sugar down, that is not a substitute for eating healthfully and getting exercise. Diet and exercise are the number one treatment, unfortunately, for type 2 diabetes and for pre-diabetes and for elevated blood sugar and for just being overweight. You have to change how you're eating and you have to change how you're moving. There's just no way around that. That's the top thing. So some people, if you're expecting to have a pill that's going to do it for you, it's just not going to happen. So the next thing is some people like to have a program. They like to be told what to do. They would like to be told exactly what to eat. And if that's you, there are a lot of programs out there. In fact, there are programs where you are given the food. So if you're looking at things like Jenny Craig or Nutrisystem or HelloFresh, you're actually sent the food. Although HelloFresh is not specifically for weight loss. It's just to be sent fresh food so that you don't have to cook, which is another, it still can help you. But when you have systems like for people who really don't cook, that's something I hear a lot, that a lot of people don't actually fix food. They don't cook.
What's with that?
It's just, well, you can't really go what's with that because it's, you have to address it because,
yeah.
I hear it. People don't prepare food. They just don't. There are people who, when they eat, they either eat takeout, they eat things that are in packages or boxes that are already prepared, or someone else cooks for them. It's a reality.
Yeah.
And you have to address it.
Well, it requires thought. It requires planning. You have to look at what you have in the house. You have to look at your weekly grocery list, and you have to go out and you have to buy the food.
Well, and the issue is not everybody has not everybody has time for it, but like if that were the only option, people would do it.
Right.
But because it's not the only option, people don't. And the other thing you have going on is that if you go to very inexpensive food places, or if you go to fast food, you can purchase food, like fully prepared meals, for less than you can buy the ingredients to prepare a meal. And so sometimes that's what people wind up doing. People who have no time, people who have a lot of work to do, who have, very intense jobs, that's what they do. They'll go to fast food and that's what they'll do. But the unfortunate thing with that is if you're buying fast food, you aren't going to be paying a lot of money, but you get what you pay for. The quality of the food is not going to be what it is if you were to go to a higher quality restaurant or if you were to get takeout, say, from a health food store, which that's also an option, because you can do that. You can get takeout from health food stores, and, very large health food stores have incredible takeout, and you could go to those incredibly large health food stores and get really good takeout. That is an option. So that's one issue that people have. So for some people, the weight loss, if they're given portioned meals and they don't have to think about it, that works for them. The issue is that can be expensive, and you have to buy the food. You have to buy the food, and it has to be shipped to you. And then you're eating out of packages and boxes, and it's generally not going to be fresh. And if you want there to be anything fresh with it, you're going to have to prepare it. So some people do that, though. They're successful on things like Nutrisystem and Jenny Craig and things like that, where they give you the food.
Right.
So that's one thing. Some people like a plan where they're okay with preparing the food, but they want to be told exactly what to eat. And when they're told exactly what to eat, then they can follow the plan, and then they wind up doing it. One of the things with that, though, is people don't necessarily, well, and this is an issue with all of the plans, that people don't necessarily, if they're given a specific plan, people don't necessarily stick to it. But if you're told exactly what to eat, some people will follow that and be successful with that. And I get asked for that. Please give me recipes. Please tell me exactly what to eat. Generally, though, when people are given that, they don't stay with it because people have their preferences. People have what they like. And then you have plans that are very restrictive. So you have the really interesting plans that are really restrictive, and they're so restrictive. Sometimes going on a restrictive plan, what it does is it takes you out of your routine. So it's like you're going on a fast for a while. So it interrupts the cycle of excessive eating so that you're eating in a very restricted way. So your different plans like the HCG diet or like Ideal Protein or like the Ducan diet, all of those things are very restrictive, and there's very few foods that you get to eat. When you're initiating these diets, you wind up eating mostly lean protein and non-starchy vegetables, and that's all you eat. And if you're doing Ideal Protein, you're doing bars and shakes, and you're doing prepared things that they give you, and you're staying within a very narrow calorie and carbohydrate range. The HCG diet, you're given HCG, which is human chorionic gonadotropin. Human chorionic gonadotropin is the hormone that you make when you're pregnant, and it's given to you so that you're less likely to burn lean tissue, and you're more likely to burn fat. And supposedly you feel less hungry when you're using it. And this HCG is given by injection, and it's paired with a 500-calorie-a-day diet for a month, which is, if you're going to eat 500 calories a day for a month, you're going to lose weight. And people do. And I do see people go on HCG, and I do see them lose weight. But what I also see is that they do have a maintenance after you do that month. But people don't stay with it. That's the big thing that I see, that people will go on these very restrictive diets, whether it's HCG. Ideal Protein is very interesting because what they do, they restrict your carbohydrates, and they also encourage you not to exercise, which is really interesting. It's one of the few programs where they don't talk about exercise, which I don't agree with, because I think part of a healthy lifestyle is movement of some kind. But the reason they have you not exercise is so you can drop your carbs really, really low. And if you get on a plateau, they'll have you drop your carbs down to 20 grams a day, which is so low. I mean, it would be very hard to function. You're getting in the zone where if you're going to drop your carbs that low, you could have trouble with brain function, or I would anyway. But can't really go by me because I move. I can't possibly have my carbohydrates that low. So things like that. Again, some people go on those plans with Ideal Protein. You have to hook up with a practitioner who supplies Ideal Protein because they're of the shakes and bars and the support. It's something that's marketed to particularly to chiropractors, but also to other, any practitioner can take it on. And then you become a site who supports Ideal Protein. Some people do it and they do very well. It's just that the people who have come into my office who have done it, they do it for a while and it works for them and they fall off it and they don't stay with it because it's very restrictive. That's what I see. And so anytime anybody goes on anything very restrictive, they don't stay with it. Then let's talk about Whole30. So Whole30 is really interesting. And I like Whole30 because Whole30, when people follow it, it teaches them how to eat whole foods. And the vibe of Whole30 is the people who support Whole30, people who created Whole30, the way they talk to you, about in a way that, listen, you're going to do Whole30 exactly like this for a whole month, no exceptions. Too bad if you're going to a wedding. Too bad if you're going out to eat. You're not going to take a break. Listen, they really say stuff like this, like you're a big boy, you're a big girl, and you can not have that wedding cake for a month. Come on. They also have you the thing with Whole30 is they're having you eat whole foods. I don't object to Whole30 because people who go on Whole30 feel really good. So what Whole30 is, they don't restrict calories. They simply have you take grains and dairy. They basically have you take grains and dairy and sugars and anything artificial out of your diet. They also, so you eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and clean animal protein, and that's all you eat. And you're allowed to have coffee and tea. You're just not allowed to have sweeteners. And so the other thing is that you're not allowed to take the foods that are allowed on Whole30 and prepare them into things that are not so helpful. So in other words, even if dates and raw organic cocoa and cocoa nibs are allowed on Whole30, you're not supposed to then take your dates and grind up almonds and make them into brownies. You're not supposed to do that. You're just supposed to get used to eating whole foods, which is an interesting paradigm. And for a month, I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing to do. One of the things that I see is people who go on Whole30 feel really good. A couple weeks into it, they feel really good. And by the end of it, they feel great. Like if they've had digestive issues, if they had joint pain, if they've had body aches, they feel really well. Why? Because they got off grains and dairy. So there's no gluten issues. Their insulin is a lot lower. They're not restricted from calories, so they're able to eat their fill of fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and clean protein, but they're not putting foods together and they're not eating any artificial sweeteners, and they do really well. The thing, again, that I see is that what you're then supposed to do after, so it's called Whole30 because you're going to eat only whole foods for 30 days. So that's why it's called that. So you do this thing for a month, and people experience it as a cleanse, which is nice. But the point is, now you've had this experience of feeling fabulous and losing a bunch of weight. And people generally lose a bunch of weight. A lot of people lose at least 10 pounds when they do this. So now they've had this experience and they count the days until they could have that cookie again. That's what I find that they do. And what you're encouraged to do after you do Whole30 is the foods that are problematic, you're encouraged to eat small amounts of them to see how you feel and add them back in one at a time. So it's kind of an elimination and challenge cleanse. But people don't necessarily use it that way. And that's unfortunate because of the things that I mentioned so far, I'm kind of a fan of Whole30. I like what it presents because it gives people the experience of eating clean for a whole month and not restricting their food, but just eating just whole foods. I think that's a really good thing. But again, the problem is just because I like it and think it's great doesn't mean you're going to. And in my experience, people still feel too restricted on it. So that's even though they feel fantastic, it doesn't take long before they're going back to their old eating habits because they feel like it's too restrictive.
Feeling fantastic isn't enough?
No. It is not because it's too much of a lifestyle change.
Oh,
Ron, you can't eat any chocolate for a whole month. You can't have any chocolate bars, no chocolates, you can't have your Snickers, you can't have your dark chocolate, you can't have those nonpareils that you like, you can't have that for a whole month.
Yeah, that'll be hard.
No cookies either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
In fact, you can't even have a muffin. You can't go to D's and have a muffin. Wow. For a whole month.
Wow.
All right. And then after that, after you feel fantastic for a whole month and you have no more joint pain and your digestive system is working great, you can only add those things a little bit at a time to see how you feel, and you only add them in one at a time. You want to do that?
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see. Okay, I can see why.
Right. So this is what people experience. When you feel like it, you want to be able to go have a nonpareil. When you feel like it, you want to be able to have your coffee. And do you have your coffee black or do you put stuff in it?
I put a little stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you put some sweetener in it, and you put some, sometimes if you feel like it, you put in half and half.
A little bit of half and half.
Yes, you do. Yep. Right. Yep. So that's the issue. The thing is, because we have so much availability of high calorie, high insulin stimulating food available to us, that's what people eat. Because it's not because there's something wrong with you. The other thing I want to instill in you is you should not feel ashamed. If you go by the checkout counter at the supermarket or at the hardware store and you look at the candy and you buy one because you want it, you know what's wrong with you?
No, what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh.
Why? Because it's there. We are not wired for famine. We are wired for famine. We are not wired for abundance. So if there's food available, we're wired to eat it. So in order to not eat when there is food available, you have to use your higher functions. You're not using your lower mammalian brain. Your instinct is when food is available, you're supposed to eat.
And when there are massive amounts of food available,
you eat massive amounts of food. That's what you do. That's normal. So if you're doing that, that is normal. Even to the point of, I have, I'm sure there are people listening who are binge eaters, and they, so they don't practice the Japanese practice. The Japanese practice has a name of eating till you're 80% full. Eating until 80% full. It's got a name in Japanese. It's called harahachibu, eating till you're 80% full. So people who binge eat don't practice that. And the people in Okinawa do. And that's part of the reason that it's a blue zone. And those people live for hundreds of years. But people override their satiety signals, their feelings of fullness. Again, that's not entirely abnormal for people to do that. Again, we live, we are wired for famine. So if food is around, we're going to eat it. And if food is filling and reinforcing, we're going to tend to eat that too. So if you don't like how you feel and you don't like what your weight is, you have to use your cortex and you have to use your thought processes and you have to use logic, which is a very high function and a very evolved function, in order to override your natural instinct to overeat. That's why anybody within the sound of my voice, I don't want you to feel ashamed if you have trouble with binge eating, or even if you're just that person, you're like anybody, you go to a party and you want to enjoy yourself. So you have the hors d'oeuvres, you have the chips, you have the dip, and you have the food. What, Ron?
Well, what about eating slowly?
Okay, sure. Great. Okay, so.
So the theory is that if you don't eat so fast, you don't want to eat as much.
Sure, that's helpful if people will do it. Sure,
right.
Yes, that's one thing we can tell people. It's absolutely true. If you slow down the pace at which you eat, the problem is it takes about 20 minutes from when you start eating till your hormonal satiety signals kick in, so that your leptin kicks in and says, all right, you're kind of full, you don't have to eat so much. So if people eat really fast, they're going to be able to get a lot of food in before the satiety signals kick in. And so if you eat slowly, you're going to feel full on less. That's absolutely true. That is a practice that people can use as part of mindful eating. Will they do it? Maybe, maybe not. So that's an interesting point. But of course, it's not the whole point. It's not because, you know, people are still, you can take that Snickers bar that you bought at the checkout and eat it really, really slowly. You're still eating a Snickers bar.
Right.
And that's the issue. How do you help people to make choices where they're eating healthfully? Now, I had a fantastic conversation the other day with a very nice gentleman, Hugh Blumenfeld. Remember him?
Yes.
He's a really nice guy. And Hugh Blumenfeld, you might remember him because he plays folk music, and he was on, he would come on with Susan Forbes Hansen on the Sunday Night Folk Festival.
Yes, he would.
But he went away for a while. You know where he went?
No, where'd he go?
Medical school.
Yikes.
Yeah. So now he's a primary care physician. And so he's a primary care physician in Hartford. And so what he told me is that he sees people who have issues with finding good food to eat, that he sees people in food deserts. And so that is another issue that people, that one of the things that's associated with difficult ways of eating or ways of eating that do not promote health is poverty.
Right.
Poverty and availability.
Right.
So, and that's hard to overcome. There are some ways that that can be overcome because you can get SNAP benefits, and SNAP benefits can be used at places like farmers markets, like the Stores Farmers Market takes mm-hmm. SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Coventry, but Stores definitely does. So that would be something to look into. If you have SNAP benefits, can you go to your local farmers market?
Can you buy good food with them? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then food banks, some food pantries will often have good food. You can go to food pantries and they will often have vegetables. They'll have frozen vegetables. They'll have bag-o salad. They'll have things like that. And there are also, I encourage people to go to discount grocery stores if they want to. And, you know, find a discount grocery store. There's definitely discount grocery stores where you can get produce, and you're going to get it for less than if you went to a high-end store. And if that's what you have, I think it's fine to do that. I would rather see you eating vegetables than not.
The food desert thing is a real big deal. And it's, when they built the baseball stadium in Hartford, mm-hmm. along with that was supposed to be a food store because it's on the north end of Hartford. So it's right on the edge of a financially challenged area.
Yeah.
And they don't have any grocery stores there.
Yeah, they have corner convenience stores.
That's all they have, are these little corner stores. And, of course, you know, the quality of the food is not good, and the price of the food is very high. And so the food desert issue is just enormous.
Right.
And, you know, that needs to be addressed everywhere.
Well, and part of the food desert issue is that we have a country that subsidizes grain, subsidizes wheat, corn, and soy, and does not subsidize produce. Produce is seen as a luxury item. It's not. It's seen as a specialty item. So it's not subsidized. And because it's not subsidized, it's harder to afford. And yet it's the thing that if people are going to be healthy, it's the thing that people need to be eating the most of.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a hard thing. And so when we're trying to cover a lot of ground here, people are listening to us, how do I, I've been eating too much and now I'm trying to lose weight. And yet there are people who it's very, very hard for them because they really live in food deserts, or they can't afford to get the food that they need to eat to be at a healthful weight. So there are inroads being made in various places where there are community gardens. There are urban gardens that are being made. There are places where children are taught in schools how to grow food and then to take the food that they've grown and cook it. And when you do that, the children get very excited about eating whole and real foods. So that does happen. There are some places where that does in fact happen. And so for your average person, there are different ways of doing that. Now, so then there are other people who what they need to learn about is mindful eating. And in the end, that is what works, and that's what works for the long term. And the thing about mindful eating is it's not so much fun. It's not sexy. It's not a specific program. It's not super different than how you're eating now. It's learning how to eat how to figure out what you want to eat and eating in a way and following just some basic principles. And in the end, that's how you want to eat, because we find that if you are attached to a plan, you're probably not going to stay with the plan. I want to give voice to Weight Watchers for a second here. So mm-hmm. Weight Watchers, of course, has been around for many, many years. And Weight Watchers is very interesting to me because Weight Watchers, now you have to pay money to belong to Weight Watchers.
Right.
However, you know, the thing about joining something can be really helpful. With Weight Watchers, you can have online support and you can have support. You go to meetings, actual meetings, and talk with other people who are in the same situation you are. Weight Watchers, of course, is in the 21st century, so it has apps and it has online things that you can enter. It has diet diaries, and it has a lot of support. And they keep changing up how they how you quantify the food you eat. And Weight Watchers teaches you portion control, mm-hmm. which is a really nice thing. Now, Weight Watchers also has products, and some of the products that they have, unfortunately, have chemicals in them. They're not all natural. But Weight Watchers, can be helpful for some people. So the neat thing about Weight Watchers is Weight Watchers has been trying to help people with portion control since their inception. And what they initially started to do back in the day was you would weigh your food. You would, if you needed to know a portion, you would actually have a little scale and you'd weigh your food. And that's what they used to do.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if Weight Watchers ever had you counting calories. What Weight Watchers then ultimately transferred to was points. So they right. accord foods, they use a point system. So you don't have to think about calories, you're just thinking about points, and you get a certain number of points for the day, and you eat within your points, and that will help you to lose weight. Yeah. And different foods would have different point values. And so over the years, they changed that up, which is really interesting. And there came a time when they attributed 0 points to a large number of foods. And that's kind of neat. And guess what the foods are that have the 0 points?
Oh, it's got to be the vegetables.
Yeah, right. and fruit too.
And fruit too, which is not really true.
Well, I mean, it's true for them.
Fruits have calories.
They do. However, the thing about fruit is even though that's true, fruit kind of gives you a natural shut-off switch. I mean, how many apples are you going to eat?
Right.
So, and why do you think that might be? So think about when you eat an apple. When you eat a whole apple, say it's a medium-sized apple, after you eat an apple, do you want to eat another one?
No, you're pretty full usually.
Why do you think that is?
Because there's a large volume of food there.
Okay, and what's in that food?
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
So there's something neat about that apple. So say you're eating a medium apple, and an apple, if it's a little apple, you're probably looking at 50 calories. If it's a really large apple, maybe 100. If it's somewhere in between, so we're looking at between 50 and 100 calories in an apple, which is not terrible. It's a great point value. It's a point great value for a snack. Mm-hmm. But what are you getting for that 100 calories? You're getting a lot of fiber. You're getting both soluble and insoluble fiber. Mm-hmm. So you're getting You're getting apple pectin, which is a lovely soluble fiber, which helps with things like helping to sweep cholesterol out of you. It is also something that helps you to feel fuller. You're getting some insoluble fiber as well. Certainly the skin has insoluble fiber in it. And you have bioflavonoids in the apple as well, which are wonderful anti-inflammatory compounds. And then you're going to get some vitamins and minerals in that apple as well. The other thing you're getting in the apple is water. And so one of the ways to reduce your appetite is to put something in your stomach. If you put something in your stomach, even if it has no calories, it's going to help your stomach to feel fuller. Fiber definitely helps you to feel fuller. I mean, you and I, Ron, so we eat our big salads, and then on the nights that we have a little bit of pasta, we find that we can't finish the pasta or we can't finish the salad. Because we're so full.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to make smaller salads on those nights.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because, well, we eat pasta that has fiber in it.
Right.
So that's the other thing. So we eat, you know, smaller portions of that, and we just can't finish all the food. And so that's the neat thing about really high fiber foods. They're very filling. And so even though apples have no points, they let you eat as many as you want because they figure you're not going to eat a lot of them. Likewise, you know, even if it's bananas or if it's a tropical fruit, they're going to still accord them less points because, you know, because of the high fiber content and the high water content. And that's why. So it's very interesting. And so, again, if people follow that plan, and now they have the freestyling system. So the freestyling system is you get that. They have a way to help you to eat whatever you want. And so what I'm guessing is what they're doing is they're helping you to bank your points so that you have some days, you know, a couple of days a week where you get to eat whatever you want, which is a good way to do it. It's very reasonable. So if you follow that, you're probably going to do well. And the thing, the big problem is that people fall off. They have their preferences. They have their very reinforcing foods that they do like to eat, and they tend to overeat them, and that's what you find out. And there are some strategies around that. I know that for me, once I started using an app that helped me to track, I discovered the calorie contents of very reinforcing foods, and it really did help me to eat a lot less of those foods. So even though my weight's kind of fluctuated since I started using that, it hasn't gotten as high as it has in the past, because I'm aware that if I eat a whole chocolate bar, I'm in for, you know, a whole bunch of sugar and, you know, 300-400 calories, and that's like a meal. You know, and I don't want to have a meal that's a chocolate bar. So I've trained myself, if I want chocolate, I get a square or two.
Right.
Depending on the size of the square. And so, you know, you won't see me eating a whole chocolate bar in a day. And I have chocolate bars. I bring them to work. And one bar will last me a couple of weeks.
Right. And there's a note on that, too. The higher quality the chocolate is, the less of it you want to consume.
Right. So there's that, too.
It's very satisfying.
Right. Because if something is very flavorful, because that's the other thing to be aware of, that when you're eating processed foods, the food industry does this neat thing. They want to find your bliss point. So bliss point is a thing in the food industry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah. So the bliss point is that point where you feel like, oh, my goodness, this food tastes and feels so good that I don't want to stop eating it. So when you drink your high-quality coffee with all the intricate notes in it and all the different flavors in it, and you drink it with a minimum of sugar and maybe you don't put any dairy in it, I know for me, one of the reasons I drink black coffee with just a little bit of sweetener in it is so it slows me way down. I will savor that coffee. I can't drink it fast because I have to savor it. And I'm certainly not going to have another cup. But if I were to have a very sweet, bland cup of coffee with, you know, a lot of fat in it, and a lot of sugar, I could probably, you know, drink a very large cup of it. So I tend not to do that. And I tend this time of year, especially, I tend to enjoy hot beverages that I have to sip with a minimum of sweetener in them. And if they have a minimum of sweetener, I don't put zero sweetener in it. So when I drink black tea, I like to take the bitter edge off with a little bit of honey, but, you know, no more than one or two teaspoons. And, you know, so I'm in for very few calories and not a lot of sugar. And then same with coffee, just enough to take the bitter edge off. And then I get to sip it. And, you know, I'm not in for nearly as much as if I had that latte or that, you know, that full fat sweet drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tend to savor it. I can go through a mocha in 10 minutes, but if I have a cup of full strength coffee with a tiny bit of sugar in it, I'm good for an hour or more.
It comes home. It sits on the counter.
Sometimes it doesn't get finished. That's right. Because it's so, when you have things with intricate flavors, that's the issue. Higher quality food is more flavorful. And because you've had a better experience of eating, it takes longer to reach the bliss point, or you don't have that bliss point of, you're in that sort of food coma where you can just keep eating and eating and eating. So when you have that bag of potato chips, it's very easy to find a bliss point because they find that right combination of fat and salt and carb so that you can't eat just one.
You keep shoveling it in.
Right. Yeah. And so let's talk about, for example, Hershey Kisses. Hershey Kisses are bland in terms of they're very good.
Yeah,
we like them.
I like them.
And
yeah.
Now they have lots of different flavors of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the quality of the chocolate, they're kind of bland. They're not very complex. And it's easy to just sit and eat one after the other. You can eat a lot of them, especially if you get the classic milk chocolate Hershey's Kisses. They're so mild that you haven't hit that satiety. You're continuing to look for that satisfaction. You just keep eating it and eating it. So, you know, you hit that bliss point, and then you just want to keep eating them. So just know that the food industry is looking for that from you.
Sure. And then there's a little entertainment point there where you're unwrapping each one.
Yeah.
And so it keeps you drawn to it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's right. It's entertaining to see that shiny aluminum. And now that they have all the different flavors, it comes in lots of different colors.
Right.
So if you get the dark chocolate, it's wrapped in dark purple. And if you get the holiday ones, they're wrapped in, you know, red and white, and, you know, and you have the pepperminty ones. Right. So you wind up eating one after the other after the other. So you find if you eat a higher quality chocolate that has more complexity to it, you might be inclined to eat less, and you might be inclined to eat one or two squares and be done with it. How to start with mindful eating. So people who keep weight off and eat mindfully, what do they do? First of all, people who keep weight off exercise. So which exercise should you do?
The one you'll do.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Should you do just one exercise?
No,
probably not.
If you can do more, it'd be better.
It's better because then you have options. Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea to only do cardio or only do resistance training?
No. Yes. No.
You should do both. It's a good idea to do both.
Right.
And resistance training doesn't have to be with weights. It can be body weight exercises. There's lots, even if you...
Use your own body.
Yes, you could just do core exercises, and there are things you can do to strengthen your arms that don't require weights even. You can have a chair and do, tricep dips off the chair.
Right.
You can do push-ups.
And you can do things that don't hurt you, like, you know, the old-fashioned sit-up was a classic, and it ended up becoming a problem because it's hard on your back.
Yes, and there's lots of ways to do core that don't involve a classic crunch.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's so many core exercises you can do, and they don't require any apparatus. And they're really good for you. And even if you haven't lost weight yet, when you do core exercises, your belly flattens.
Right.
Even if you don't see the numbers move on the scale, your belly will appear flatter, and you might be able to take in a belt notch. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're in that time of year when you're eating a little too much, doing core is a good thing, because even if you're chubby, your belly will be flatter. I speak from experience.
Why did you look at your belly when you did that?
Because my belly looks a little bit flatter, even though I'm chubby right now. That is why. And, there are just some nice core exercises you can do. Right now, I'm doing bird dog and dead bug.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have fun. Some of the exercises have funny names.
Funny names, right.
Yes. So bird dog is basically you're on all fours, and you take your elbow, one elbow, and you stick your opposite leg out, and you bring the elbow and the opposite knee together. And
right.
You take them out, bring them back together, take them out.
We do those in SPOGA class.
It's a nice, right. They.
We do.
Yeah.
We did them last night.
Well, Jude likes to do those too. She makes us do them.
Well, they're good because they test your balance. They test your balance,
and they get your obliques. They're nice,
right?
And then the dead bug. It's a funny name. I think they do dead bug in Pilates too. So those are simple exercises: push-ups, leg lifts.
Yeah, simple stuff.
There are a lot of things you can do that are very simple. So one of the things that people do is they get exercise. What exercise? Figure out what you like to do, what you're willing to do, and do please figure out something you can do inside your house, something you can do outdoors, and something you're willing to do outside of your home, but indoors. And then you'll always be somewhere where you have something that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that people do. So people also, people who keep weight off, some people have rules. They have certain rules. Like one of my rules is I don't eat gluten.
Mm-hmm.
One of my rules is I limit my carbs. I don't eat zero carbs, but I limit them. If there's some, if I have an option to have bread or not, I'll often not have the bread. So if there's a meal, if I'm out somewhere and I'm offered an option of different choices, I'm probably going to limit the starch, and I don't eat gluten, so I'm not going to be eating the bread. Mm-hmm. And if something comes with a lot of rice, I'll have a few bites of the rice and I'll have most of the protein and vegetables. So when it's available, you eat protein and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Some people eat beans, some people don't, because beans are both high fiber and also they're a little carby, but they're also high in fiber. So if beans work for you, that's great. If they don't, that's okay too. So you have to figure out if they work for you in your diet. People who keep weight off eat fruits and vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That whether they are vegetarians or they are paleo or what, doesn't matter. That whatever diet they're eating, people who keep weight off easily eat a lot of produce. You know, they eat salads, they eat soups, they eat stews, they eat apples for snacks, they eat, you know, they eat fruit. They eat real whole foods. So, and you find that those real whole foods, they have a lot of fiber. And again, like in the whole Weight Watchers system, they have no points if you're doing Weight Watchers. And if you're not doing Weight Watchers, they have a lot of fiber and few calories and a lot of nutrients. So if you do nothing else, if you haven't started yet and you don't even know where to begin, you can, if you want, forget about taking the things out of your diet that are bad for you and that you're eating too much of that are not working for you, and just start adding in the good stuff. You know, so go get some apples and go get some salad stuff and make a salad tonight, or go make a nice soup with a lot of vegetables in it, and start eating it. And see if you have to, before you take out the things that you know you're gonna miss or that you're very attached to, start eating the good stuff. And then you may find that you don't have as much of an appetite for the stuff that's not so good for you. So the other thing is, if you have something you absolutely love, like, you know, you just have got to have that that venti mocha every week, could you, for example, take it down? Could you have a grande? Could you have a tall? Or could you have a venti mocha but just have it once a week? Because the thing is, if there's something you absolutely love, maybe you don't want to take it out of your diet. Like if you absolutely love pizza, you want to find a way to incorporate pizza in your diet. That's what the freestyling part of Weight Watchers is about.
I'm reading here about the freestyle, they have a few things they do there. So, but it works with their old point system still, with their smart point system.
Yeah.
And they have all these 0 point foods.
Right.
Which you were talking about with
right.
vegetables and all.
And basically what Weight Watchers has done there is they've put together a system that if you follow it, that you're learning how to do mindful eating, which is a really good thing. And so the thing is, because people, they find is that if people are restricted from eating things that they absolutely love, they're not going to stay with the plan. So for me, you know, I really like pastries. So I like to find a way to incorporate pastries into my diet without gaining too much weight. And it also may happen that if you really love food and you want to enjoy your life, maybe you can sit 5 or 10 pounds higher than you would if you had zero of those. If I cut pastry out completely, maybe I would be 125 pounds, but would I be happy?
Which is more important to you?
Exactly. So if your quality of life, you know, if you want to enjoy that glass of wine or if you want to have a piece of cake once in a while, you got to do that. And people recognize that because, like I said, if people are too restricted, if you restrict yourself too much, you're probably not going to stay with it. So a few basic rules. One is, like I said, get exercise. Two is eat lots of produce. Three, find ways to incorporate the things you love, but don't eat them every day or don't eat too much of them. And four is don't be hard on yourself. And five is don't expect this to happen overnight.
Right.
Mindful eating is a lifestyle. It's not a plan, and it's not 30 days like Whole30. It's your life. People don't stay with Whole30. Why don't they stay with Whole30? Because they feel too restricted. So you have to find a way of eating that is healthful and not too restrictive. And I'm going to submit that if you're eating in a way where you're binging or you're eating too much stuff that's not good for you, that is restricting. You're restricting yourself because you don't feel well. You're not going to feel as healthful. Your weight is going to sit higher and you're going to be more inflamed. And when you are more inflamed, you're going to have more pain and your mood is not going to be good. You're not going to be as happy. So it's a good idea to really look at if you're overeating and if you're in a rut of eating in a way that's not working for you, interrupting that is a good idea. But I think the first thing to do is, before being really hard on yourself, is to gradually add some good habits. And the easiest way to do that is to start by adding a little bit of exercise, something that you can do, whatever it is. It could be one thing or two things. Make it so that it's very easy for you to get to, whether it's in your house, in the gym that's close to your home, at your job, outside, near your home. Make it easy for yourself, whatever it is, whether it's a piece of apparatus, whether it's a set of exercises. The other thing I want to remind people is, if you don't want to join a gym, one of the things you can do is they have online services that you can pay for. For example, you can join for a month or you can join month by month, and they have lots of classes and they're in an online service. So you take the classes and they're on your computer. So if you have, you can do it off a little computer if you want to, but if you have a big screen TV or a smart TV, you have it in, and you have that TV in a place where you can exercise, you can basically take this class. And they have lots of different ones, and there are services you can pay for monthly for a reasonable rate, and get lots of different choices of classes. And that can be very motivating. Of course, you can buy programs. You can get CDs and things like that. So if you're willing to do those can be really helpful too. But getting the exercise, adding in produce to your diet, whether you're eating, whether you're vegetarian or not. I know vegetarians who are basically carbotarians and they don't actually eat a lot of produce. But they call themselves vegan. And if you're not eating a lot of produce, you're missing the point. I mean, that's really, so plant-based diet, I think you can eat a plant-based diet and not be a vegetarian. I don't know if people who call themselves, I'm eating a plant-based diet would agree with that. But I consider that you and I, Ron, even though we are not vegetarians, we do eat a lot of plants. Mm-hmm. We eat a lot of plant-based stuff. So
we eat quite a bit. Like our plate is, three quarters full with more vegetable than it is anything else.
Anything else, yeah. So, we're not huge protein eaters, although we do eat some protein.
I eat a fair amount.
Yeah, and I probably could eat more.
I feel like I require it. I feel like I'm starved for it. I need more protein.
Well, this is because...
certainly at certain times of the year.
Because of the activity level that
right.
we get.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
Exactly. Anyway... I don't know. So I have the top 11 reasons why people like fast food. Are you ready?
Sure.
We can go through it quick.
Okay.
Number one, they're quick. 92.3%. This is a CBS News study, by the way. And number two, they're easy to get to. 80%. Number three, I like the taste of fast food. 69.2%. Number four, they're inexpensive, 63%. I'm too busy to cook was number five at 53.2%. Number six is it's a treat for myself at 50.1%. Number seven is I don't like to prepare foods myself, 44.3%. Number eight is my friends and family like them, 41.8%. Number nine is it's a way of socializing with my friends and family, 33.1%. Number 10, they have many nutritious foods to offer, 20.6%. I wonder what those are. And number 11, they're fun and entertaining. That's at 11.7%. So it's a little sad, but there's a comment down here that says the I'm too busy to cook line, which is 50%, was more popular among people with college degrees than people with less education.
Yeah.
Yeah. And young adults were less likely than older adults to say that they ate fast food because it offered many nutritious choices. Still, the results boil down to speed and convenience at one end of the spectrum and nutrition and fun at the other end.
Right. Well, and the college-educated piece, I'm not having time, is those people are very busy.
They're busy. They're sometimes working more than one job. They're paying off student loans.
They have kids in a commute.
Right.
Kids in a commute is the hardest thing for your health and fitness. So So anyway, it is possible, though, to eat healthy. And what I'll, like I said, and what I'll encourage you to do in the new year, if you do nothing else, find some kind of exercise that you can begin to do and eat your fruits and veggies. And you heard it from the naturopath.
Yeah.
So you're listening to 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, and you have been listening to myself and Ron Meniza for the last hour. If you'd like to hear this show at another time, you can listen to our podcast, which is at whus.org or at my website, FranStorchND. You can also find me at Fran Storch ND, naturopathic physician, radio naturopath, on Facebook. And I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. And we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.